abortion except when a mother's life is at risk. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is down 391 points. The NASDAQ off 151. The S&P 45 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you today. The issue that we're speaking on, should all guns be outlawed? Or you could change that slightly. Should any guns be outlawed? Should we have confiscation of guns in America? What we're watching today is the arrogant mindset of the left. The Marxist media fanning the flames, and the socialist Marxist Communist Party called the Democrats that are wanting to see America disarmed. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in order to have a dictatorship control over a nation, you've got to have no free speech, no religious liberties, and no right to keep and bear arms. And we're on the fast track for all 3 of those things to take place today. We're on the fast track with Joe Biden having issued some 30-some-odd executive orders about gun control, over 120, 130 executive orders in the period of time that he's been in office. He is running the nation by fiat, simply taking a stand on the basis of what he thinks and feels in the fundamental changing of the United States of America, which is the blueprint of Barack Hussein Obama. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at headline, one state pulling the trigger. I like that. It's pulling the trigger on gun confiscation. The state of Colorado is moving forward on a preliminary step of gun confiscation, according to the column by David Koppel, research director of the Independent Institute in Complete Colorado. The article reads, key to Colorado's agenda is the state Senate. House and governor's office are all controlled by Democrats and all on the left. The issue is the mandate for banking institutions. Listen, for banking institutions to use a special code when someone purchases a gun. In Colorado, among the worst states when it comes to allowing freedom, the identifier is called a merchant category code. Florida, Utah, Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, North Dakota, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, Wyoming, and others have defeated similar proposals over the last year or so. Ladies and gentlemen, what that means is that in Colorado, to confiscate the weapons, gun control confiscation, is to force the charge card companies to use an identifier code that if you go in to buy a weapon, you put your American Express on up to the counter, and it says no. You put your Wells Fargo card on, it says no. You put your Bank of America card up, it says no. And ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place now across the nation in many states, but Colorado's open with it. Listen, for the state of Colorado to do that is brazen, infantile thinking, because Colorado now has all crime about 547% increase with those that are taking the marijuana that with kids that are taking it, preteens and teenagers taking it and dying as a result of it, because they have allowed the legalization of marijuana on the premise that it's going to help bring in taxes. But the state of Colorado is in a desperate position, and it's all because of the drugs. And now they're trying to say, well, what we've got to do is confiscate weapons, and that'll stop the crime. Ladies and gentlemen, if you take weapons away from legal citizens, you will increase the number of weapons with the thugs coming in over the southern border and others that want to do harm. There are guns out on the black market today that you'd never believe possible, and it doesn't mean that you're going to use your charge card to get it and they can stop you. The only thing that that will do, ladies and gentlemen, the confiscation in that fashion, is to prevent citizens, legal citizens, moms and pops, families, from being able to protect themselves against those that want to come in and harm. It will prevent the citizens from being in a position of defending ourselves as a nation, as a free people, against the intrusion of federal government to control our lives. And you might say, well, that sounds a little harsh, a little dangerous. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the purpose of the Second Amendment, according to the history that I read to you just a moment ago. In fact, it goes back to the date of that was 1791. The Second Amendment was added as part of the Bill of Rights in 1791. And the bottom line, as you sift through the minutiae of the purpose, was to allow the citizens to protect ourselves against the intrusion and the overbearing control of a large government, i.e., we would call it today the federal government. But ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine Colorado today, with its intent to try to stop, quote, gun crime, and the one of the key triggers that causes all of the other crimes in the state of Colorado, state of Oregon, the state of Washington State and California, is the liberal drug laws. And let me just put this little footnote in the state of Florida, our state, November of this year, November the 5th, there will be on the ballot an amendment to the Florida Constitution that will allow murder by way of abortion at any time up through birth. The second constitutional amendment that will be up for vote November the 5th of this year will be that of the legalization of marijuana for recreational use. And ladies and gentlemen, in 2016, November 2016 went into effect, 2017, legalized medical marijuana went into effect in the state of Florida with 61%, I believe it was, might have been 67% of the vote. That means Christians, conservatives, patriots voted for marijuana. And it's already projected now by some surveys that 67% of Floridians will vote for the marijuana for recreational use in November. I pray that that is incorrect. I pray that that survey is wrong. But ladies and gentlemen, we got to be very, very careful on what we vote for and amendments, because most of these amendments by the major deep-pocket individuals that want to profit from that amendment, we need to recognize that most of the time, the 90-word summary of the purpose for that amendment is an absolute bald-faced lie. And both the abortion amendment and the marijuana use amendment have deceitful 90-word lead-in to that amendment. Be very, very careful. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, should all guns be confiscated? Should all guns be outlawed? Should we, the people, have the right to keep and bear arms? Looking at a headline, the Biden administration's 21 executive actions to reduce gun violence. To implement his comprehensive strategy to reduce gun crime, the Biden administration has taken more executive actions to reduce gun violence than any other president in American history. That should tell us something. We're being ruled today by a thug in the Oval Office. We're being ruled by an individual in the Oval Office that fraudulently got the office, how would you say, allocated to him. We're watching the socialist, Marxist, communist move operating within the beltways of Washington under the guise of the Democratic Party to undermine and destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America, by open borders, by trying to confiscate weapons, by trying to make all moms and dads and citizens in America be villains, to be criminals, because you want to keep and bear arms, which is our right under the Bill of Rights. This article says, the president is celebrating the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the most important gun violence reduction legislation to pass Congress in 30 years. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have more gun laws on the books, both federally, statewide, and local community. Combined, last time I did the research on that was some several thousand gun laws on the books. My question to you, and I'd love to hear from you, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917, will one more gun law stop the mass murders, the mass shootings? Will two more? Ten more? How many more laws needs to be put on the books to stop the erratic behavior of drugged out minded people that go into primarily gun-free zones? We'll talk about that in a moment. Should we have gun-free zones? Should there be any such thing as a gun-free zone? This article continues. The president will continue to urge Congress to take further legislative action to keep dangerous guns out of dangerous hands, including a ban on all assault weapons, all high-capacity magazines, and strengthen background checks and enacting safe storage laws. Now listen, they're talking about expansive background research, background checks. Listen, do you realize what that connotes? Here, let me just summarize it for you. We already have background laws. We're already doing background checks. But the expanded background checks that Biden wants, if you as a dad, a father in the home, you own a weapon, you're going on a trip, you leave your weapon with your wife and say, I'm leaving this with you, honey, to protect yourself while I'm gone. If she does not have a background check and the federal government says she can hold or use that weapon, you're committing a felony that could be prosecuted and you could spend time in jail. That's what that expanded background check means. It will put every citizen in a position of being fearful of breaking some law if he or she protects themselves. I believe we have Justin on the line. Justin, go over to the question and comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, how are you today?
Great. I pray that you are.
I'm doing well. First things first, this is my first time calling. I'm a little bit nervous, so bear with me.
Go ahead. Don't be nervous. Just pretend we're talking with people listening.
Okay. So as far as all this gun control stuff goes, I'm not really all that concerned with it because, to my knowledge and comprehension, I understand that everything that's going on right now is basically designed to be a perversion of God and God's word and God's will. And so one thing I've discovered is that we basically have two bodies. We have a God created, a created body that's a spirit and a soul and a being. And then we have a commercial body that's created by the government. And that body is the only body of our two bodies that the government has any jurisdiction or control over. So when we realize and operate in the mode that we are created by God and like kinds can only control with and deal with like kinds, in other words, since I am a living man and not a fictitious entity created by government, that's me, the real living man, flesh and blood, by God. The government has no jurisdiction over me. So technically, per the Constitution of the United States of America, our Second Amendment says that that right cannot be infringed. It's a God-given right.
Amen.
So no government can even take it from me. Therefore, I'm not concerned with what the government says because I know who I am. I know I'm created specifically and incredibly by God. So why would I concern myself with anything that the law of man tries to put on me? God didn't put that on me. He said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yes.
I have nothing that is Caesar's.
Yes, I hear you. Let me do a little footnote to that to broaden your statement and to clarify it for our listeners. According to Romans chapter 13, well, first of all, Genesis chapter 9, God created civil government and gave the right of a death. You shoot somebody, you killed somebody, you're going to die. It is the capital punishment law. Then in Romans chapter 13, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, God gives us in his word the expansion of civil government. Civil government, number one, was created by God. And the purpose is to prosecute evil and to protect good. That's outlined in the first five verses of Romans chapter 13. We've reversed that today. Government, number one, has left the idea, abandoned the notion, that they are to be servants of God, and therefore what they do and say should meet the scrutiny of the Word of God, number one. Number two, meet the scrutiny of the Constitution, number two. They've abandoned that. So right today, as it stands for the majority, for the most part, civil government is not acting as a servant of God. Therefore, as Peter said, we ought to obey God and not man. And Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We need to recognize that. I'm not saying for us to go out here now and abandon government. The sign at the intersection says STOP. That's a law. We need STOP or we're going to get killed crossing the intersection. So I believe we need to obey government when it comes to civil government rules, regulations, and laws that are submissive to the Word of God. But I believe otherwise, if it comes down to trying to bifurcate or in any way infringe upon the Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights, or in some way bifurcate or infringe upon, though that word is not there in the First Amendment, we need to have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the right to keep in arms to protect ourselves against an uprising from the federal government. And that's clear in the 1791 wording of the Second Amendment. So I agree with you. God has given us the right. They're called human rights. They're given to us by God. They are confirmed by the Supreme Court, and they're to be carried out by we the people, the citizens. But the problem is, Justin, we're finding government agencies, the thugs with badges, as I call them, that if we do not adhere to and follow the letter of what they deem to be their right, their authority over us, then all of a sudden we can have our doors broken in. We could be caught, convicted on a prosecutorial warfare lawfare, as is taking place with Donald Trump. Those that are in the orbit of Donald J. Trump for the past 5 years now have been prosecuted infinitum and sentenced to jail, not because they did something illegal, but simply because they were in the orbit of Donald J. Trump. And so that is the thing that's taking place in America to force the submission and the surrender of our freedoms, our God-given rights, force us our to surrender will. Those. That's right. Force us to surrender our free will, our rights, over to the thugs with badges, i.e. the DOJ, the FBI, the IRS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
through fear, false yes, evidence it, appearing real.
You've got it. It's total fear. It's the fear mongering that causes people to be fearful today to buy a gun, fearful today to protect themselves. Listen, there was a.
Sir, you may be able to answer. Sorry to interrupt, but I just thought of this. You may be able to answer this question. I'm not as scholarly with the Bible as you are, and I would like to be. And I actually really want to come visit your church. I work with a guy that goes to your church. He turned me on to you, Mr. Shane, and I will be coming to your church to visit with you one day very soon. But
hey, you're trying to increase.
How many times does the Bible tell us to not be afraid and do not fear?
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 is the one that comes to my mind primarily. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We need to recognize that fear is opposite of faith. We need to place our faith and trust and our hope and dependence in God and not government. But yet we live in a society today where it is most of our lives controlled by government today. And that's the thing that we see infringing upon our lives and our freedoms every day is more and more and more and more governmental control.
God bless you.
Thank you, Justin. God bless you. Thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. I'm absolutely in agreement with everything that has been said. And the thing about 2 Timothy that just came to me is that he not only doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but he gives us the spirit of power.
Yes.
And so my question to all of the Republicans that are in Congress now, where is their power and unity to rein back this federal evil government?
Well, Lisa, let me just simply give you the Youngblood paraphrased addition to that answer to that question, because we have those that were elected on the basis of lying to the people of what they're going to do. They get into office, they're bought and paid for then by the lobbyists, and as a result of that, they vote with the bloc, which is part of that bloc is the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. They do that to continue to have favor from the lobbyists, to continue to get the payola, and then when it comes election time, they say, please help me, they're trying to vote me out of office, I need your dollars, I need to be voted back in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It's because they're simply going along to get along. It's what's called reaching across the aisle. I totally disagree with it. I'd rather see a legislator, a representative or a senator, I'd rather see them say no to everything that needs to have a no and never get any headship of any responsibility for a committee and not even be reelected, but simply take that stand. This is the reason I have confidence and hope for Mike Johnson, our Speaker of the House now. I think several have been woefully mistaken on trying to call him up to be voted and removed as Speaker of the House. I believe he's a man of God. I believe he is doing what is right biblically. But the problem is we have so many rhinos, that is Republicans in name only, in the House and the Senate. We have so many of those that claim to be conservatives that are not. He doesn't have the votes to do what he would like to do going in the position that he's in. This is the reason we need to recognize and pray seriously that God will divinely intervene and put Donald J. Trump in office. This is my opinion. You can disagree if you like. Put Donald J. Trump back in office to hopefully clean the sewer called America and to remove layer after layer after layer of these that are the embeds that want to destroy the constitutional republic that we love today that God has given us. But you're exactly right. I believe we need to vet the candidates. I believe we need to put candidates in that's got a spine and a backbone to take a stand for God and country and to stand for our Bill of Rights and our constitutional liberties that God's given us. Lisa, that is...
And Dr.
Go ahead.
Dr. Youngblood, about Oregon, the whole marijuana vote, Oregon was a first state, I believe, to pass the recreational marijuana.
That's right.
And they have on their ballot for November 5th to reverse that.
Yes.
Because their state has totally gone to pot.
Yes.
And my mother had cancer over 27 years ago. And 27 years ago, she got medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a lie. They just keep pushing
their agenda. It's all a lie. In fact,
the
sodomite governor in the state of Colorado said about 8 or 9 months ago, quote, we need to go back and rethink our marijuana laws. It has mm-hmm. inundated Colorado with all kinds of crimes that would never expect it, never dream possible, because the state was sold a lie when they put that on the ballot to be voted in. And it's an amendment.
And I believe they have the same loose gun control laws as well.
That's right. They do. Absolute. The warning to right now, they're wanting to confiscate weapons. And the way they want to confiscate the weapons is to, by law, require all charge card companies to code any attempt to buy a weapon on the charge card, which will be tantamount mm-hmm. to confiscation of weapons. But Lisa, we need to keep praying and asking God to intervene. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much
Amen.
For your call. Thank you. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over to question or comment, please.
I think it's sad to hear so-called Christians saying that they had the two choices between the zombie in the White House and Trump. They won't support Trump. And I, you know, you ask why? No, the way he talks. I don't like the way he talks. And you go like, are you kidding me? I mean, are you being, as a Christian, are you being offensive when he speaks truth? I mean, this is, I wonder if that has anything to do with the way that the churches are being run nowadays. They don't speak truth. All they do is feel good message.
Right.
They make you feel good. Everything is good. Nothing is bad. Who are you to criticize? God is good. Wait a minute. I know he's not a pastor in chief. We're not hiring a pastor in chief, but he's a human being. But out of the two, how was the economy 4 years ago? How was the border? How was, you know, everything going? It was way better than what it is right now. Oh, but I don't like the way he talks. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm unbothered. I'm like, as a Christian, you think that way? So I wonder what would this person do listening to John the Baptist preaching the gospel or Matthew or Peter. I mean, I don't know if he'll be a follower, because he gets on the same mentality as the people that doesn't know the Lord, that the language is offensive. I mean, what kind of Christianity are we living, brother? This is crazy.
It's watered down, yes. As Franklin Graham calls it, progressive Christianity. And he says, progressive Christianity is going to send more people to hell than you dream possible. It is part of the woke culture today. It is bringing the culture into the church rather than bringing the church as dominant, if you will, bringing the theology and the doctrine and the biblical preaching into the culture. It's bringing the cultural mindset into the church, filling the pews. We need to keep praying.
I'm pretty sure if they study the Bible and they read what Jesus did and the apostles, their mindset will be changed. But they don't do that. That's the problem we have. The churches are not teaching the true written gospel as it is in the Bible. That's why we got so many people being so sensitive, being snowflakes inside the church. Oh, Lord, help us. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Jose. God bless you for your call. That is your target, on target with what you're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at page 5 in part of the introduction in my book that I had the privilege of writing and publishing just a few years back. It's called The Doctrine of Self-Defense. And on page 5 in part of the introduction, it says, one writer put it this way, disarmed people are neither free nor safe. They become the prey of criminals and the plaything of tyrants. Further in, a writer by R.J. Rummel, Death by Government, he writes these words, consecrated power, political power, is the most dangerous power on earth. For power to be concentrated and become dangerous, the citizens must first be disarmed. It is the idea of gun control that will disarm our citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, page 31 of the book, The Right to Keep and Bear Arms, George Washington says, firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance. They are the people's liberty teeth. Thomas Jefferson said, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. James Madison said, Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Samuel Adams said, the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States of America, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms. James Donald said, the usual road to slavery is first to take away your guns and then take away your property. Then last of all, they'll tell you to shut up and say you're enjoying it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the track that we're on. That's the reason we need to recognize the need. Further, George Mason says, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave all people, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, you want me to answer the question that I've asked for this broadcast? Should all guns be outlawed or confiscated? The answer is no. No. We need to have our citizens armed. There needs to be the keep your hands off my Glock. God gave me the right to keep and bear arms. Go back and study the scripture. Look at Esther chapter 8 and chapter 9, where God gave the right to keep and bear arms and self-defense. Jesus said, if you've got two cloaks, sell one and buy a sword. There is self-defense totally codified in the scripture. We need to recognize God's given us that right. Don't surrender to anybody, government or any governmental official. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295.